Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you had a good day. We have an exciting, fun-filled, frolicky night planned for you tonight. And then we'll get to the talk radio part. But the events today have been bizarre. What are the Democrats doing tonight? They're holding an all-nighter. Back in the day when I used to do all-nighters, it had nothing to do with politics and an awful lot to do with, hanging out and stuff. I want to share something with you very quickly here, an edited version of a commentary by Paul Craig Roberts that showed up, I think, yesterday or today. You know who Paul Craig Roberts is. He was at one time the Assistant Secretary of Treasury in the Reagan administration. He was also the associate editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, one of the most vicious right-wing sewers in American publishing. And he was contributing editor of National Review, one of the most vicious right-wing sewers in magazine publishing. He is co-author of The Tyranny of Good Intentions, and he is, apparently Mr. Roberts had some sort of epiphanous moment, because he has been speaking out against this crime-riddled, corrupt regime that now runs this country. But listen to this. He titles this Impeach Now. He says, unless Congress immediately impeaches Bush and Cheney, a year from now the U.S. could be a dictatorial police state at war with Iran. Does that first sentence get your attention? Roberts goes on to say, Bush has put in place all the necessary measures for dictatorship in the form of, quote, executive orders, end quote, that are triggered whenever Bush declares a national emergency. The statements last week, recent statements by Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff, former Republican Senator Rick Santorum, and others suggest that Americans might expect a series of staged or false flag so-called terrorist events in the near future. Now, keep in mind, as I share this with you from Paul Craig Roberts, they're talking about a U.S. administration here. This is how insane it's become in this country. Roberts goes on, many attentive people believe that the reason the Bush administration will not bow to to expert advice and public opinion and begin withdrawing U.S. troops from Iraq is that this administration intends to rescue its unpopular position with false flag operations that can be used to expand the war to Iran. Too much is going wrong, Roberts writes, for the Bush administration. The failure of its Middle East wars, Republican senators jumping ship, Turkish troops massed on northern Iraq's border, poised for an invasion to deal with Kurds, and a majority of Americans favoring the impeachment of Cheney and a near majority favoring Bush's impeachment. The Bush administration desperately needs dramatic events to scare the American people and the Congress back in line with the militarist police state that Bush and Cheney have fostered. William Norman Grigg recently wrote that the Republican Party is, quote, praying for a terrorist strike, end quote, to save the party from electoral wipeout in 2008. Chertoff, Cheney, the neocon Nazis, and Mossad would have no qualms about saving the bacon for the Republicans who have enabled Bush to start two unjustified wars with Iran waiting in the wings to be attacked in a third war. The Bush administration has tried unsuccessfully to resurrect the terrorist fear factor by infiltrating some blowhard groups and encouraging them to talk about staging terrorist events. The talk, encouraged by federal agents, resulted in terrorist arrests, hyped by the media. But even the captive media was unable to scare people with such transparent sting operations. Obviously, what Roberts is talking about are the people arrested with too many cell phones or too many cameras or a bunch of punks in Miami who are sitting around saying, hey, man, you want to get some new boots? Roberts goes on. If the Bush administration wants to continue its wars in the Middle East and to entrench the unitary executive, so-called, at home, it will have to conduct some false flag operations that will both frighten and anger the American people and make them accept Bush's declaration of national emergency and a return of the draft. Alternatively, the administration could simply allow any real terrorist plot to proceed without hindrance. A series of staged or permitted attacks would be spun by the captive media as a vindication of the neoconservatives' Islamophobic policy, the intention of which is to destroy all Middle Eastern governments that are not American puppets. Think about it. If another 9/11 type security failure were not in the works, then why would Homeland Security Czar Chertoff go to the trouble of convincing the Chicago Tribune that Americans have become complacent about terrorist threats and that he has a gut feeling that America soon will be hit hard? Why would Republican warmonger Rick Santorum say on the Hugh Hewitt radio show that between now and November, a lot of things are going to happen, and I believe that by this time next year, the American public is going to have a very different view of this war? Ask yourself, would a government that has lied us into two wars and is working to lie us into an attack on Iran shrink from staging so-called terrorist attacks in order to remove opposition to its agenda? Only a diehard minority believes in the honesty and integrity of the Bush-Cheney administration and in the truthfulness of the corporate media. The American constitutional system is near to being overthrown. Our coming so-called terrorist events, of which Chertoff warns and Santorum promises the means for overthrowing our constitutional democracy? Whoa. What is staggering to me is the potential truth or reality that Paul Craig Roberts, former Reagan administration official, is writing about here. We understand, you and I, not these nutbags that still think, and I'll share this, we have an Uncle Mike story corner today, which will be a real eye-opener for you. But some people still, there are still Americans who utterly and absolutely refuse, like David Brooks, op-ed writer for the New York Times, to let us know what they know. That Bush is a megalomaniac psychopath who is this close, I'm holding my forefinger and thumb pressed together, this close to ending everything that has gone before us in this society in terms of representative government, in terms of morality, ethical behavior, decency, respect for law, whether it's domestic or international. We are this close. We're this close. And I know we don't want to hear about that. Hell, I don't want to hear about it. You know, I read stuff like this and I think, ah, son of a bitch, I just don't want to deal with this. I don't want to think about this. I want to be like Ed Schultz and say, I'm an American, I pay my taxes. In reality, I want to spend time with my kid. And my grandchildren. I want to sit down with Kathy and say, okay, let's see, we got a week coming up in August. What do you want to do? Ah, hell, let's just stay home this week off. Let's stay home. Putz around in the garden. Maybe put in that a split rail fence on the other side of the property we're talking about. You know, stuff. That's what I want to do. That's all I want to do. I don't want to think about this. I don't want to hear a Reagan administration official telling me that unless they are impeached immediately a year from now, Bush and Cheney will turn us into a dictatorial police state at war with Iran. Holy Christ, I don't want to hear that. For a couple of very personal reasons, not the least of which is that's when I go to the fourth box. And I'm sure that's when a lot of people listening to this program go to the fourth box. And then, well, there's no telling. Avatar. They all drew and fired E.L. Condoleezza. If you're with me, then blast them to hell. She came riding side saddle, shouting out orders, twirling two pistols remarkably well. When it was over,
there's nothing left standing, nothing moving, nothing to say. They drove the prisoners east to the boats for their hanging from the gallows overlooking Guantanamo Bay. He's a cowboy president, but he wears a black hat.
Now, after perusing the column, the opinion piece by Paul Craig Roberts, that's at, I think it's, where is it? It's at Consortium News? Is it, well, you can find it. You can find it. After reading that today, and then switching over to the information that's being put out there by Chertoff, you know, his gut feeling, and now all of the U.S. intelligence agencies, the fact that, or not the fact, but the allegation that Al-Qaeda will likely, the way it's put here, leverage its contacts and capabilities in Iraq, which is the little nest of horror and death totally created by George Bush and Dick Cheney. Completely. That is their creation. That just like the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel belongs to Michelangelo, the bloodbath and death and stench in Iraq and the possible, according to these people, probable blowback into the United States is solely the result of Dick Cheney and George W. Bush. They own it. It's theirs. But the terrorist network Al-Qaeda will likely leverage its contacts and capabilities in Iraq to mount an attack on U.S. soil, according to a new national intelligence estimate on threats to the U.S. Now, national intelligence estimate, the NIE, you remember those, don't you? They're kind of like the PDB, the President's Daily Brief, things like Osama bin Laden determined to strike in the U.S. You know, that sort of stuff. Released today and obtained by the Associated Press were key findings in this declassified document. Now, the report lays out a range of dangers from Al-Qaeda to Lebanese Hezbollah to non-Muslim radical groups. Huh? That pose what is referred to a persistent and evolving threat to the United States over the next 3 years. As expected, however, why is it expected? The findings focus most of their attention on the gravest terror problem, Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda network. Cue the drums. Boom, 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 boom. I'm not trying to be a smartass here. I'm so tired of this. And if there is any substance to this, it is the direct result of Dick Cheney and George Bush. America has to never, ever forget that. If we're still here 1,000 years from now, remember what these two thugs did. The report goes on to make clear that Al-Qaeda in Iraq has not yet posed a direct threat to U.S. soil, but it could become a problem. The analysts who put this piece of garbage paper together, I call it garbage paper because it is the direct result of efforts by Dick Cheney and George Bush to end everything. The analyst said, quote, of note, we assess that Al-Qaeda will probably seek to leverage the contacts and capabilities of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, its most visible and capable affiliate. Al-Qaeda in Iraq never existed until George Bush and Dick Cheney created it. I want to say things that I dare not say or I'll wind up in Guantanamo. Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Al-Qaeda's most visible and capable affiliate, and the only one known to have expressed a desire to attack the homeland. That's our homeland. The only Al-Qaeda operation, according to these analysts, if you want to believe them, the only Al-Qaeda organization that has expressed any desire to come here and kill people are the ones that are in Iraq, where we've gone to kill people. Well, that's got kind of a synchronicity to it, doesn't it? We come to your country for no reason and kill your people and destabilize everything and ruin it all, blow your children up, butcher your adults, kill your old people, hang your dictator, and you're pissed off? Gee, why is that? And you're going to do what in return? Oh no, really?
I've got you on the loose, I left you grooving. I got you on the beat, I left you broken. But won't you take my place? It's long ago I wandered way out on the cliff with the brilliance of an angel. So find me, courageous. So find me, courageous. Mother America is brandishing her weapons. She keeps me safe.
Against right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. So former Reagan administration official and someone we've quoted frequently on this program, Paul Craig Roberts, begins his Impeach Now column by saying, unless Congress immediately impeaches Bush and Cheney, a year from now the U.S. could be a dictatorial police state at war with Iran. And as I pointed out, that ties in just too neatly with the reports that have been circulating now, starting with Chertoff's gut feeling. If all this is true, where's our color-coded level? When I was in the Seattle airport on Sunday, the announcement kept coming over the PA system. Homeland Security has indicated the threat level for airline passengers is orange. For airline passengers? What about for everybody else? Where's the threat level, the famous threat level put together by that religious nutbag, John Ashcroft, and the first Homeland Security chief? What the hell was his name? Doodlefuss or what? I don't even remember. It doesn't even matter. So either, now here it comes, either Chertoff's gut and these national intelligence estimates and the putrid, bile, sulfurous stench coming from the Bush administration about more war, more death and destruction, either all that's true as a result of the Bush, the murderous incompetence of Bush and Cheney, or it's all a lie. Now, if it's all a lie, what is the reason for setting the American public on edge again? If anybody's paying attention, hell, the stock market went to 14,001 today. Yay! Who cares? Who cares? If any of it's true, then we're in doo-doo up to our eyeballs. If it's not true, if this is a trick by this filthy administration, then what is the motivation to trick us? Well, as Paul Craig Roberts says, a false flag operation, you know, the Iranians attack our people in Iraq. The Iranians, when actually it's not really Iranians, maybe it's somebody from one of the private police or military organizations that this filthy administration employs. Could that be? And if there is a, quote, attack, end quote, in this country, is it legitimately coordinated, organized, and carried out by people who hate us? Or is it put together and carried out by people who want us to think it's some foreign force like Al-Qaeda? But didn't Bush say if we don't stay in Iraq and fight them there, they'll follow us home? Wait a minute. Something's all squirrely here. We are there. We are fighting them there. Who's them? They don't know. It's a made-up thing. Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia. No. Al-Qaeda in Iraq. No. Bin Laden. No. Insurgents. No. Kurds. No. Turks. Sunni assassination squad. No. Shia. So who's going to come home and get us? Maybe they're already here. What's this I hear on the news today? On mainstream media, not just today, the last few days? Oh my God, maybe they're already here. And what I hear today, they'll come here not from the Middle East, not from the Far East, but from Europe. That's where they're going to come from. Son of a bitch, they're going to come over here looking just like, oh, I don't know, Europeans. Or is it all fantasy? Is it all a lie? Is everything untrue? Is it all through the looking glass? Hey, the stock market went to 14,000 today. Holy jumping Jesus, that's never happened in the history of anything. Democrats say the intelligence report that says they're coming to take us away was proof that U.S. anti-terrorism efforts were being drained by the Iraq War. Anti-terrorism efforts? Which would those be? Would those be how we inspect all of the shipping cargoes that come to the United States? Would those be an inspection of imported food shipments? What anti-terrorism efforts? All those guards surrounding our nuclear reactors? What anti-terrorism efforts are being drained by the Iraq War? There is no anti-terrorism effort in the United States at all by anyone. The Bush crime family can't even regulate how much arsenic is in the water. They're going to determine that we are on the verge of an Al-Qaeda attack or a terrorist attack and stop that? I don't think so. Now, House Republican leader Representative John Boehner of Ohio said this declassified or leaked report confirms gains made by Bush and, are you sitting down, blamed Democrats for being too soft on terrorism. You guys are flaccid, Boehner says. You can't, you know, stand tall and, oh, I don't know, pick a word, erect. You can't do it. You're too soft. Well, we knew this was going to happen. Yeah. America, you took the power away from us Republicans, and look what's happening now. Look what's, oh, is it a coincidence? Never mind. Don't look over there. Look over here. Now, the new report that we're talking about echoes statements made by senior intelligence officials over the last year, including the assessment of spy agencies that this country is in a, quote, heightened threat environment, end quote. We need a national intelligence estimate to tell us that Bush and Cheney have so corrupted this country that we have been in a heightened threat environment since the day these bastards took office. And it's gotten worse every day. The Iraq invasion and occupation notwithstanding. Among the report's other findings, Al-Qaeda is likely to continue to focus on high-profile political, economic, and infrastructure targets to cause mass casualties, visually dramatic destruction, economic aftershocks, and fear. Another finding, the group has been able to restore key capabilities, that would be Al-Qaeda, It would need to launch an attack on U.S. soil. And those include a safe haven in Pakistan's tribal areas. You know, Pakistan, our great ally, the dictator Musharraf, that Bush said when he found out that Musharraf was the dictator, well, I think I can do business with him. Remember that? A safe haven in Pakistan's tribal areas. Operational lieutenants and senior leaders. They have all that. Why, hell yes, they've had a perfect training ground. Not like Fort Bragg or Fort Stewart, but Iraq. U.S. officials have warned publicly that a deal between the Pakistani government and tribal leaders allowed al-Qaeda to plot and train more freely in parts of western Pakistan for the last 10 months. But wait a second. Don't we pump hundreds of millions of dollars into Pakistan? Yes, by God, I think we do. So where's the money going? Guess where? Another finding, the group.
That would be al-Qaeda.
Will continue to seek weapons of mass destruction, chemical, biological, or nuclear material, and, quote, would not hesitate to use them. Ah, the dirty, dirty bastards. Another item, Lebanese Hezbollah, a Shiite Muslim extremist group that has conducted anti-American attacks overseas, may be more likely to consider attacking here, especially if it believes the United States is directly threatening the group or its main sponsor, Iran. Ooh. A Shiite Muslim extremist group, Lebanese Hezbollah. What makes them extremist? Oh, well. Another item, non-Muslim terrorist groups probably will attack here in the next several years, although on a smaller scale. The judgments don't name any specific groups, but the FBI often warns of violent environmental groups, such as Earth Liberation Front, and others. This is insanity, truth seekers. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you tonight? This is mass delusion. This is insanity. The White House is using the reports now as evidence. Isn't the timing exquisite? Evidence that this country must continue to go after al-Qaeda in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere. Yes! Endless war! Son of a bitch, we are in this forever! It'll never stop! And I am your leader! I am Dick Cheney! I will keep this going until I...
We can win a million pounds!
Love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
We were young together. We were on the ball. We did not believe.
10 before the hour. Not just conservatives. Love to hate, I have discovered. We're talking here about two documents. One, a national intelligence estimate that says we're all doomed, we're all going to die because of the horrendous threat of al-Qaeda. And a second document, an op-ed piece, I guess you could call it that, written by Paul Craig Roberts, former Reagan administration official, who says, unless Congress immediately impeaches Bush and Cheney, a year from now the U.S. could be a dictatorial police state at war with Iran. Now, when you take these two documents together, and look at what is the genesis of both of them. Bells and whistles, if you're not careful, start to go off, which is what happened to me today. Now, again, the report today from the 16 intelligence agencies that put this together. Ooh, nothing like a big committee of intelligence agencies putting out something for the Bush crime family. Eh, folks? Ah, sound familiar? Oh, but I'm too much of a cynic. I'm sorry. The very freedom of my country's at stake. Oh, my God. The very idea that I'm mocking the potential of something like what happened in New York and Washington in 2001. How dare I? Oh, my God. The report offers some areas for debate on George Bush's relationship with Pakistan. Whose dictator, General Pervez Musharraf, he's a dictator. Wait a second. I thought we were working for freedom and democracy. And so the little kids go fly their kites and wear white shoes after September. Oh, no. General Pervez Musharraf, who has been enlisted in the effort to rout Taliban and Al-Qaeda elements from Pakistan. And what has General Musharraf done? What has he done? Besides his own version of the Branch Davidian fiasco the other day by attacking the Red Mosque and butchering, 100 people? 80? 30 women and children? But that's beside the point. What has Musharraf done with all the billions we send him? He declares the Badlands bordering Pakistan and Afghanistan to be, off limits to his military. Can't go there. Why not? Oh, just can't. So was it today that President Chucklenuts, in a brief White House appearance, said, Al-Qaeda is strong today, but they're not nearly as strong as they were prior to the September 11, 2001. And the reason is because we've been working with the world to keep the pressure on. But wait a second, George. That doesn't seem to square with the report from the 16 intelligence agencies that the United States is ready to be attacked. Oh, my Christ, they're coming from here and from there and from up and down. They're in the basement, the attic. Oh, God, they're hanging out in all the 7-Elevens. Look around, George. There's one. There's another one.
Al-Qaeda is strong today, but they're not nearly as strong as they were prior to September 11, 2001. And the reason is because we've been working with the world to keep the pressure on.
That's what he said. Today. This is insanity. You understand that, don't you? I mean, the soap operas are still on. CNN is still talking about the autopsy report of a professional wrestler here in Georgia that murdered his family and committed suicide. You still need to go out tomorrow and buy some milk for the kiddies. The mortgage or the rent comes due in a couple of weeks. Everything. Oh, and the stock market is over 14,000. Everything appears to be. I don't know what everything appears to be. Is it normal? Are we so far through the looking glass that we're looking back at people looking into the looking glass and thinking they're us when they're not? They're really we, only we are not there. We're in here looking back out at somebody looking in saying, I'm a reflection. No, I'm a reflection. No, I'm the real. No, you are. No, I'm not. You are. I am. Down that path is what? Mass insanity, right? Senator Russ Feingold, who has been among the most outspoken critics of all this Iraq murder, said the national intelligence assessment put together by 16 U.S. government intelligence agencies confirms, Feingold says, it confirms that administration policies have, quote, allowed the emergence of an Al-Qaeda affiliate that didn't exist before the war, end quote. Allowed, Russ? How about created? I think that would be, no offense, Senator, but I think that would be the more appropriate term. Bush and Cheney have created death, terror, destruction, discord, chaos on an unimaginable scale. And Nancy Pelosi still says impeachment's off the table. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell. We'll be back after the break with your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. The Malloy program here on Nova M Radio. All right. The first hour was my take on this National Intelligence, what do they call it? NIE, National Intelligence Estimate. Excuse me. Isn't that a nice turn of phrase? National Intelligence Estimate. That says we're all doomed, it's just a matter of time, and that George Bush, therefore, must continue to be the savior of America, continue the slaughter in, continue the slaughter in the Middle East, continue his psychopathic policies, and if not, then we're all doomed. And that raises a question, several questions. You know what the questions are. We have the false flag idea, as Paul Craig Roberts points out, unless Congress immediately impeaches Bush and Cheney. And by that, he doesn't just mean impeach. He means impeach, convict, and remove them from office. A year from now, the U.S. could be a dictatorial police state at war with Iran. So let's get I'd like to get some of your comments on this. I know you have other things to talk about. And if you can weave it together, let's see what we can do here. But I think this is clearly an incredibly important thing for us to discuss, because we may be on the verge of another move by the Cheney, Bush, neocon, neo-Nazi cabal to end this government permanently and to replace it with this kind of dictatorship. So, if you don't mind, I'd like to get your take on that, okay? Let's start with Pablo, who is calling from Los Angeles, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Pablo, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. It's great to talk to you. I won't ask you how you're doing, because I can tell you're just going insane as much as I am.
Oh, man.
but with what you've said already, I mean, I don't know if you know about this documentary called Terror Storm, but they document on their false flag operations dating back, to the 50s. I know, you know, the show when we took out the Shah in Iran in 53, I think. And, I mean, and then to up to the present with, the 9/11 and, the 7/7 bombings in Britain. I mean, all that stuff is all false flag operations right there. I mean, it's, and I mainly call because, I'm going insane here. I need someone to, mm-hmm. to at least make me feel like I'm not yet.
With all due respect, Pablo, I'm not so convinced they're false flag operations. They damn well may be. I don't know. It's either that. Remember, there's an either or situation here. Either they are false flag operations, or they are the result of the just insidious, unconscionable incompetence of the Bush crime family. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, and I have to actually agree with you. Yeah, I mean, I'm not totally convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt either. But I mean, like I said, if we go back, you know, through history, there's just so many incidents where, you know, where the government uses this stuff for the purposes of controlling us.
Right, absolutely.
And you know, that's
I don't think it is out of the realm of reality to talk about false flag operations at all. I really don't. I think that's entirely possible. I think it's an MO of this Bush administration and the Nixons and the Reagans. There's no question in my mind. The only thing I'm concerned about is that the Bush crime family has turned confusion into chaos, has turned an impossible situation into a demonic situation in the Middle East, all over the Middle East. So if there are those groups, I don't care what you call them, what anyone calls them, the labels, the names are totally beside the point. If there are groups of people who have decided that after 50 years or 75 or 100 years of Western imperialism that has been deliberate, murderous, and profound, that they've had enough. You know, I don't have any feeling of compassion for religious nuts. I don't care who they are. If they're Christian, Jewish, Islamist, you know, they all can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. But I'm talking about those people who, if they, after all of this destruction and disrespect and murder and blood that has been dumped on their countries, all these countries that have been forced to live under governments assigned to them by the United States and the UK, if they finally have said, no, we're not doing it anymore, then that's a distinct possibility as to this incredible incompetence. I mean, it's the distinct result of the incredible incompetence of this filthy Bush administration. So I think that's what we have to consider that we're dealing with.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with you on that. I mean, I originally come from Chile, so I lived not really much through the Pinochet regime down there that was installed by, obviously, this government, which still some people I've talked to are a little bit in denial of. And that's the thing. I mean, I talk to people all around. It's like none of this is happening, like as if none of this is real. Like the stories I read in the newspaper aren't real or they don't mean anything to anybody.
Yeah.
And that's just so frustrating. I'm like, are you guys here? Are you living in the same country I am or in the same world? I mean, is anybody ready to go out and do something, or actually the suggestion you made, I know a few shows ago, the fact that just stay home. Don't promote anything. Don't go to the mall. Don't do anything. Do stay home in your house and let the world stop for just a moment, a day,
you know,
a few hours maybe. I don't know, but it's just, I don't know. I'm lost for words, and I appreciate you taking my call. You know, I'm a big fan. I've been listening to you for a long time, and you know, at least a few years. And I really think you're pretty much the only one of the very few talk show hosts that get on the radio and actually speak with their heart and with passion. And I really appreciate that you're doing that, and you know, definitely keep it up. And you know, you got a fan here, so.
Well, thanks, Pablo. Those are kind words, and I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for checking in, pal. Take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. No, I understand the feeling of not knowing what the hell to say, which I know that sounds ludicrous because, you know, I can sit here and go on and on and on. But, you know, I go on and on and on to a certain degree with other people's words, like Paul Craig Roberts or the National Intelligence Estimate. If I tried to do this on my own, I would sit here and it would be nothing but an unrelenting stream and flow and screech of invective and profanity Let's move on with the calls here. Phil is calling from Scranton, PA. Phil is listening via the internet, I believe. Phil, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm just hanging in there, I guess.
Okay.
Hey, can I give a real quick shout out to my uncle?
Sure.
Actually, it's William, and he lives in Atlantic City. He listens to you on Sirius. I stream you.
Oh, okay. So. Well, hi, William.
Hey, I just had a few things. Actually, a couple things. This VA guy, the head. I'm a veteran, Air Force veteran.
Are you talking about Nichols that resigned today?
Yeah. I mean, that's,
what a rotten.
I got ushered underneath the rug. I mean, I know the story's out there, but geez, I mean, nobody's talking about it.
I know that's on my menu for tonight to talk about. Jim Nicholson abruptly resigning. Hey, hold on a second. I got to take a break, Phil, and I'll come back to you right after this break. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour, we're talking with Phil, who has called in from Scranton, PA. All right, Phil, before you go on, I've got the press release from IAVA, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. That's the organization that Paul Rykoff is involved in. Here's what it says. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, the nation's first and largest organization for the veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, issued the following statement response to the resignation today of Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Jim Nicholson. Quote, Secretary Nicholson's resignation should be welcome news for all veterans. Tens of thousands of veterans currently are waiting for their first VA appointment, and the backlog of veterans benefits claims has increased by more than 50% in 3 years to more than 350,000. And it goes on, but the gist of it is that the veterans, at least the ones represented by IAVA, are glad to see this filthy Bush crime family member gone. Do you agree with it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's no excuse for our troops the way they're being manhandled, mm-hmm. and not only in Iraq, but when they come home. I mean, it's just it's a disgrace.
Let me ask you this. Bush and Cheney and everybody except Chuck Hagel and John McCain, I think, and maybe what's his name from South Carolina? Most Republicans have never been in
Lindsey
the military. I'm sorry?
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, most Republicans. Yeah, he was with the Judge Advocate General's office, I believe. But Republicans don't serve in the military. They make sure that other people's children and husbands and now wives and mothers and daughters go. They don't serve. Bush and Cheney are notorious for having evaded the draft, having evaded combat during the Vietnam era. All right, now, wait, let me finish this a question because it's very important to me.
Sure.
We know this about the Republicans. We know that they do not understand the horror of combat and don't care. We know those two things. But my question to you is, how in the hell do active duty generals, war planners, who realize, they must realize how sick Bush and Cheney are and how misguided, how do these commanders continue to go along with programs that sends their troops into a situation they cannot win?
Well, for one, I think they are, I wouldn't say they're brainwashed, but there are certain things that are instituted into them, you know, as far as the chain of command and things like that go. I even had a supervisor tell me that as soon as I got out in 2000, right,
mm-hmm.
you know, earlier that year,
right.
And my supervisor told me, Airman Lee, you're not going to be anything when you get out. I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, he's like, you're just going to be flipping burgers. I mean, well, he used an explicative in front of my trainee. I was an E4,
mm-hmm.
and I was training an E7. So he had the audacity to say that to me on the floor.
Right.
I just sat there and said, okay, we'll see. And at the time, I just wanted to deck him so hard.
Sure.
But I know if I did that, then there goes me getting out.
There goes everything.
Yeah. So my whole thing is, okay, what I've felt is there's a lot of right wingers at my job and things like that. Pretty much what I tell them, and it's come down to this, that I don't care what Bush is doing. I don't care, you know, so be it. You know, these troops, you know, even though they're over there right now, there's nothing we can do unless somebody can impeach him. There's no other way. There's no other way.
But isn't it true that good commanders know when to pull their troops back? Well, I don't care if you use the word retreat or redeployment.
Sure.
They understand that the only asset that an army has is its soldiers. Forget all the weaponry. Forget the guns and bullets. Forget all of it. The real asset are the soldiers. And when the soldiers are treated like so much dirt, I don't understand why the commanders are going along with this.
I think what it is they don't realize it till they're actually in theater or, you know, they've been there for a while that they actually say, oh, my God, well, what have we gotten ourselves into, you know, like in the past, what a couple of generals were made to, you know, step down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, there's no stopping. And I've come to grips with that, even though it's kind of sad, but I've come to grips that, there is really, I mean, and these Democrats, oh my God, I sit up there like, man, what did we vote for you in 2006 for?
I hear you. Hey, listen.
So, I don't want to take all your time off, Mike.
Yeah, I got to leave it there. Phil, thanks. Call in again. You make some real good points. Thanks a lot, pal. I appreciate it. All right? Take care. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. before the hour. All right, back to some phone calls here. Where were we? I don't think we had anybody on hold. Let's go to AJ, the Music Factory, who's calling in from the Catskills in New York, listening, I guess, on the internet, right, AJ?
Yeah, how are you tonight, handsome?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Good evening to the whole Malloy family.
Yeah, well, half of them are asleep, and the other half are trying to keep us on the air.
Ah, yes. Would that our places were reversed. I'd love to be asleep right now. just saw Sicko tonight, and
yeah?
I was telling Ian about it, and that's not really what I want to talk about, except that I found that I wasn't, except for one particular thing in the movie, I wasn't really shocked. And I think the reason I'm not shocked is because I don't have any faith anymore in this government. And so, you know, kind of going to what you're talking about, this false flag thing, yeah, of course, they're capable of anything.
Right.
And I said to my wife the other day that this quote that Golda Meir said about, you know, we can forgive you for killing our sons, but we will never forgive you for making us kill yours.
Mm.
I don't mean to make light of such a huge statement, but I feel the same way in that, you know, it's not what they've done that I mind. It's what they've turned me into.
Amen.
Which is someone without any confidence in the government, which is someone who believes that they are capable of anything,
yeah.
Which is someone who doesn't even have faith in his own party, if I have one.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the lesser of two evils at this point. And all these things that you've been laying out in the first hour, my God, I mean, can anybody believe that they're not capable of it? In fact, can you believe that it hasn't been a false flag campaign since September 11th? When that flag went up behind the government and everybody rallied around the flag, my reaction to that was, uh-oh.
Yeah.
This is not what it appears to be.
Yeah.
You see? And the
9/11 truth movement has been trying to get America's attention ever since.
Yeah, and I've been away for a while. My wife and I teach down in Maryland every summer, and so I've been kind of out of touch with your show and everything, and I wanted to call you, but it was the strangest feeling, Mike. I thought to myself, there was this kind of feeling in the back like, oh, God, I don't feel like calling him, and it has nothing to do with you. I think I've made clear to you that how devoted I am to you and the program, but I'm tired, Mike.
I hear you. What
you said tonight resonated with me so much about, you know, I just want to, I want to lay this aside.
Mm-hmm.
I was never political. In fact, I still don't, at my core, I still don't consider myself political. I just want to go out with my one true love in the backyard and enjoy the birds and enjoy life
sure.
for whatever time we have left, you know, and, damn! I mean, they've just turned me into a crazy man.
What was Meyer's quote again?
We can forgive you for killing our sons, but we can never forgive you for making us kill yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that pretty much I had not heard that before, and it pretty much puts very succinctly exactly what I hear you saying. You feel and I feel too. You know, sometimes I make a kind of a whiny statement about how sick I am of talking about this stuff. And I am, just like you.
Yeah.
And there are nights when it does take an awful lot of effort to sit down and look at what I've accumulated during the day and funnel it down for that night's program. And I just think to myself, but I've been talking about this for 1 year, 2 years, three
yeah.
years, 4 years, 5 years, and nothing is changing. Nothing. It's just spiraling deeper and deeper and deeper into this hell that Cheney and Bush have created for every single American. And I'm real aware of that, and I feel it, and I know a lot of other people do, but then I take a look at just the flow of life passing me by, whether it's on the expressway or downtown or over here in our little village or walking down the road or swimming laps and looking at people and listening to people. And I don't see anything different from how people would, it's like the Truman Show. It's like it's all fake. Like all these people are just actors. They're just walking through this charade of, I'm an American, I'm okay, I'm going to work now, I'm going home now, I'm going to kiss my spouse now, I'm going to throw my child in the air now, now I'm going to go plant some flowers. And I just think to myself, what in the hell is going on?
And Mike, if I would like to add one thing to that, that's been really gnawing at me, and that is that I hear from a lot of people, liberals, and every now and then I hear something like this from you too. Although I don't blame you for it, but kind of this question of this statement of, this is not America, you know. And I saw it tonight in Sicko too, the implied question of, you know, all this corruption and everything, and then, but this is not what we are. If I might for a moment suggest, this is exactly what we are. Any addict will tell you when they seek help that the first step to recovery is admit that you have a problem.
Yeah, no kidding.
And when you say, hey, that guy's an alcoholic or a drug addict, you don't say, well, that guy's evil. No, he has a problem, and now we can start to fix it. There are a lot of great people in this country. There are a lot of wonderful things that happen within this political boundary that we call the United States. But damn it, this is a corrupt, petulant, greedy country that bases everything on the buck. Now, if you can admit that, then the next step is, all right, what do you want to do about it?
Yeah, that's true.
What do we want to do about it?
Yeah.
Mike, very quickly, I'm going to say that I miss terribly you cutting up Republicans on a regular basis. And I know you don't take stupid ass Republican calls anymore, but boy, it's great fun.
Well,
if you can get up the energy every now and then, boy, I would love you to just
call. Well, trust me, AJ, if they call and they can convince our associate producer Ian that they have even as a smidgen of the ability to talk on the air, I put them on. They just don't call anymore because they know I'm just going to give them a bad case of the red ass as soon as they open their mouths.
Oh, well, then let me make an appeal to my Republican brothers and sisters. Please do call in. It's good sport, and we need the laugh every now and then. So please do call up so Mike can chop you to bits.
AJ, always good to hear from you.
Thanks for your good work.
All right, Mike. Take care. Take care, pal. Not just Iraq, Afghanistan. Earl in Georgia writes, Mike, I see where a news report stated that the heroin poppy supply harvest in Afghanistan is at an all-time high this year, even with the eradication program of the coalition troops going full bore to destroy the crops. I wonder how much of this is being funneled to the CIA outlets and to the high-dollar supporters of the war on terror. Just a thought. Earl in Georgia. Two invasions, two absolute, utter, complete, total failures. Not even failure in the sense of I tried something and it didn't work. Failure in the sense of I tried something, it didn't work, and I made the situation even worse. This is what Cheney and Bush have done. This is what they've done. When the World Trade Towers were attacked the first time, Clinton used police work and the FBI and whoever was involved, and they caught the sons of bitches, and they are in Supermax prison in the middle of America. When it was done the second time, with a Bush crime family member in charge of security, and the Bush crime family in charge of the nation's security, and the death and destruction that ensued, what happened? More murder, death, bombing, children. Don't scream. Andre writes in, "Hi, Mike. It's 6:28 p.m., and the following news is breaking on CNN's webpage. No, not the Senate-Iraq war debate. This. Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick is one of four people indicted on charges related to dogfighting. Now, WTF? Doesn't that just prove once again that Michael Moore was right about CNN? The bastards." We'll be right back.
Sometimes I'm happy, you know, but wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times.
Ten before the hour, Ida, I think it's Ida, sent this to me. Quote from Octavia Butler, and I have no problem showing my ignorance. I don't know who Octavia Butler is, but here's the quote. "Choose your leaders with wisdom and forethought. To be led by a coward is to be controlled by all that the coward fears. To be led by a fool is to be led by the opportunists who control the fool. To be led by a thief is to offer up your most precious treasures to be stolen. To be led by a liar is to ask to be lied to. And to be led by a tyrant is to sell yourself and those you love into slavery." Octavia E. Butler. And I just didn't have time to do a Wikipedia or Google on this person. But George Bush fits into that entire quote. He is a coward, he is a fool, he is a thief, he is a liar, and he is a tyrant. Oh my God. And he is supported still by 25% of the American public, the voting public, the adult public. That's astonishing, isn't it? Just astonishing. Back to your phone calls. Charles is calling from Boston, listening on the internet. Charles, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Pleasure to speak with you. These are really dark times we're living in. I fear for our country. I fear for our future. I understand why Bush and his minions lie. They want to be in power. But I cannot for the life of me understand what goes through the mind of his supporters. I mean, how on earth can they support him in this war? Because, I mean, his lies are so blatant. They're so out in the open. I mean, even an imbecile would have to see the truth.
That's something I don't understand either. I read something recently about some sort of a convention or a group or something that was all right-wingers getting together, and they think that the war in Iraq is going swimmingly. The country has no problems. After all, the stock market is over 14,000. Mm-hmm. I don't know how people like that think. I really don't. I don't. I have no idea.
What's particularly shocking is they keep throwing around the word freedom as if they actually understand the meaning of the word. I mean, I've heard these right-wingers rationalize the use of torture, saying the ability to torture protects freedom. And they accuse people who criticize the war as somehow undermining freedom, as if somehow dissent is a threat to freedom. Dissent is what freedom is. that's what it's all about.
They don't. They you have no more of a chance of explaining that to a right winger than you have of striking a match on a wet cake of soap. It's just not going to happen.
Oh my goodness! It's just there is one quote in the Declaration of Independence that these right wingers, I'm sure, have never read. I just want to read this quick thing. It says, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Now, we don't serve Bush. He serves us. But somehow, on the right, they think, I don't know if they think he's Jesus or if he's emperor, but he has completely defecated on the Constitution.
Yes, he has.
And the founding fathers of this country would be ashamed. They were revolutionaries.
Oh, they wouldn't be ashamed. They would get him in their sights, and that would be the end of this madness.
Yes.
Just as quick as they did with the British.
Exactly. But unfortunately, I think it's going to take something akin to Kent State, something or another 9/11, actually, before people wake up.
I understand what you're saying with that, but I don't think even that would do it. I think that would allow media and the Bush crime family to make the case that all, you know, all the rules were off the table now. Everything had changed. We have to have a solid leadership, which means no dissent from a legislative branch, no interpretation from a judicial branch. Now it's a matter of our... And this is what Paul Craig Roberts is afraid these sons of bitches are going to do to us.
Oh, my God.
And a lot of other people, very intelligent people, see that the stage has been set, the documents are in place, the directives have been issued, the authorities that need to know mm-hmm. what the next step is, and they're just waiting. There's a feeling in the air of anticipation, like here in the South right before a massive rat killing. It's just got this feeling. You know, sometimes the hairs on the back of my neck tend to just stand up when I stop and think for a second. Jesus, God, do you realize, Malloy, what they have put in place? This latest presidential directive that assumes all power into Bush's hands, and posse comitatus disappears. The United States military becomes the United States police force. Governors have no power. State legislatures have no power. Individuals have no power. You will not move unless the government tells you to move. We are so close to this right now.
My best friend's parents came from Germany in the 1930s, and they say basically we are at that point.
Yes, we are.
And if things don't change, we're going to repeat history, and one day someone's going to kick down our door, and we'll be thrown into the back of a van and never be seen again. And of course, people on the right will say, "Well, that has to be done in order to protect freedom."
Yeah. Oh God! Hey, I got to leave you there, Charles. Thank you. Good to hear from you. I hope to hear from you again. Take care. I do appreciate your call. Hi, they. Listen, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back after the break at the top of the hour. Stick around. Sanders next, and Steve, and Ian. And BJ, stay where you are. We'll be back, okay? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. It's about 7 minutes past the hour as we slide into the final hour of the Molloy program tonight. Thanks for sticking with us or for just tuning in, whatever your decision was. Before we go back to your calls, this is from the Institute for Public Accuracy. David Enders, who is a journalist who reports, he's a freelance journalist who reports from Iraq. He spent more than 18 months in Iraq now over the past 4 years. He's author of the book Baghdad Bulletin. And David Enders said today regarding what Bush had to say and what's going on, Baghdad, he says, the last time I was here in Baghdad was in May of 2006. I've never seen it this hard to move around in Baghdad. From what I've seen, the control exercised by some of the militias seems to be greater than I've ever seen. The situation seems to be leading to increased fragmentation rather than moving toward a cohesive state. I have yet to speak to anyone who said that security has gotten better. Most people I spoke to say they would leave the country if they could. The main opposition to the oil law is due to the foreign rights. As it is written now, many people feel that it would be giving up a key piece of Iraqi sovereignty. Do you ever get the sense that what the Bush crime family is trying to do is literally to turn it into a totally failed state, a wasteland, a Mad Max kind of landscape that will be populated by private militias, American military, private contractors who are armed the way these filthy sons of bitches in the U.S. Government would never arm and protect our soldiers, because after all, you know, it's not private corporations. It's that damned government that runs the military. So can you not envision a Mad Max scenario where the Islamist militias, whether they're Sunni, Shia, whatever they are, or just Hellraisers, or this awesome Al-Qaeda, whatever it is, staging hit-and-run operations against these private contractors who in turn commit murder and mayhem as they will. And in the background over all this are the oil wells pumping steadily. Oil wells owned by transnational corporations, most of which are heavily weighted toward the United States. Can you not see that scenario? Is it not just so clear? And there will be occasional acts of sabotage, but there was on the American frontier when we stole everything over in this hemisphere. So the occasional uprisings by the pissed off natives, well, the private contractors will put that in order very quickly. That's the scenario I see sometimes. I can't help it. I mean, my God, look what they've done. Look what's going on. All right, back to some phone calls. Then I want to share with you Uncle Mike's Story Corner. It's not all that long tonight, but let's go back to your calls. Sandra is calling from Berkeley, California, listening on the Quake. Hey, Sandra, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for your patience.
Oh, you're welcome. So, one thing, I really called to talk about the Bush legacy, but one thing I wanted to say is that besides every other reason that I've been saying this for the last 6 years, are you telling me that the senators and the politicians that are Democrats, or even the Republicans, that they don't see what we see, they don't see what we have been seeing, they don't see what's going on, don't they care about their children and their grandchildren?
I've been saying
this for 6 years, and I'm just sick of it, you know. And what I want to say is, why are they not framing issues? Why are they not saying, we were attacked on 9/11, Bush's watch. If we get attacked again, Bush's watch.
You know, that question has puzzled the hell out of me too, Sandra.
Where are people saying that? You know,
I don't know. We say it out here in this never land of talk radio, but you're right. What's wrong with, I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican, don't they understand? The only answer I can come up with on the Republican side, these are Armageddonists. These are Dominionists. These are people who believe that what's happening is part of their God's plan.
Okay, so I said that years ago, too. So now what I'm saying is, and that leads into the other thing I wanted to say, Mike, which is how Bush was talking to the, you know, the writers about his legacy and, oh, you know, 100 years from now, we'll all be dead. Everything they say is like code, you know. Yeah. 100 years from now, we'll all be dead, so who knows what they'll be saying about us, you know? Everything will be different. And who writes the history books, Mike?
Yeah, the winners.
The survivors is really the word to look for.
Well, okay.
And maybe he's saying that you guys are all going to be dead anyway, so what are you worrying about?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me, because it's almost like I've become a Bush translator, and I can watch him on TV, and I can translate to what he's really saying. And that's exactly what he's saying, is he's saying that we don't need you guys anymore, and we just, you know, we've got enough money. We can live underground. We can live in domes, and, you know, and we're going to write the history books, because I'm going to be paying the guy to write it.
But, you know, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, that's not going to happen, and I'll tell you why, because there are enough people in this country who, when the time comes, and apparently it's not here yet, it's not time to go to the fourth box, but when the time comes, there will be people in this country who will say, no, that's not going to happen. And you talk about guerrilla warfare. I'm not in the least suggesting that an uprising in this country could take on the military that has now been corrupted and controlled by Cheney Bush. But guerrilla warfare, this country could slide into something that would go on for decades. A war of attrition by people who truly believed and would still believe in this future date in what Jefferson and Adams and Madison and the rest of them had to say.
In the Iroquois.
It's just so damn weird to be talking about. Sandra, I got to move on. Thank you.
No problem. Talk to you soon.
All right. I appreciate you checking in. Ian is calling from also from San Francisco, also listening on the Quake. Ian, welcome to the program. Hey, Ian. I think Ian's there. Hey, Ian. All right, let's put Ian on hold, and we'll come back to Ian when we can. Let's go to Steve, who's calling from Folsom, California, listening on the Internet. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey,
Steve, how you doing?
Hi, Mike. Hi. Yeah, follow the money with regard to your last caller. You know, there's a lot of outrage. I hear a lot of anger. But if you look at, for example, the oil services sector, the oil services sector is up almost 1,000% over what it was in the year 2000. Mm. So follow the money. These guys are enriching their friends. It's all about money. It's about globalization. And that's what they're doing. But the reason I called was you started out talking about the National Intelligence Estimate, the
yes.
NIE.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at, there's a really important battle going on right now in Lebanon. Just for example, this is one anecdotal thing of what they're doing. What I'm thinking here is moving beyond the anger and looking at some of the things that they're actually doing right now. And remember, these are Iran-Contra people in the White House, Elliot
yeah.
Abrams, Steve.
Right.
They're doing an Iran-Contra thing in Lebanon right now. You've probably heard about Nar el-Barad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the mainstream news anywhere, but this is a major battle that's been going on for weeks. It was a camp of 40,000 people.
Right.
The camp has been virtually wiped out. About 30,000 of these people relocated to Badawi. They protested. Of course, all these people were uprooted, and they moved to another refugee camp. When they protested at their conditions in the new refugee camp, many of them were shot. About mm-hmm. 30, there was a protest, and about 30 people were shot and wounded.
Hey, Steve, hold on a
yeah.
second. I got to do a break here, and
sure.
I want you to pick it back up right there where you left off when we come back. Because, yes, so many of the people that were involved in the slaughter in Central America during the Reagan years are involved in the slaughter in the Middle East. The fact that Elliot Abrams is an assistant secretary of state, a convicted felon, just speaks volumes about this corrupt Bush crime family. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Buddy, I'm wanting you to turn it on.
microscopic cog in his catastrophic plan, designed and directed by his red right hand.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Here comes the helicopter.
21 past the hour, we're talking with Steve, who is listening on the internet, called in from Folsom, California. All right, now, where were we?
Oh, hey, Mike. So essentially we're talking about the national intelligence estimate and right. actual funding of the Sunni insurgency in Lebanon, and this is a kind of Iran-Contra deal. What happened was, after the stalemate with Israel, there was a, you know, many people have forgotten, or some people have forgotten, that in July of 2006, Israel was stalemated in a war with Lebanon and with Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. And what had happened was, during that war, four jihadi fighters were arrested and imprisoned in Lebanon, and were then. This is coming from Seymour Hersh, by the way. This can all be verified,
right.
And. The son of Rafiq Hariri. Rafiq Hariri was assassinated. He was the prime minister
right, of Lebanon, right?
Right, and it's never. Although it was pinned on Syria, it's never really been absolutely clear who did that. But his son bailed these four guys out with $40,000 that he got from Prince Bandar.
Mm-hmm.
Now these four jihadis.
That's the Saudi prince.
Saudi Prince Bandar. Now these four jihadis form the nucleus of a group in the camp that were funded indirectly, believed to be indirectly funded by, let's say, by Saudi means to be on the safe side here. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that's never going to come out in the national intelligence estimate. But essentially the idea was then also to send arms, which the way I found out about this is I'm a video editor and a media company in Australia had given me 20 minutes of material to mm-hmm. edit. And it's absolutely fascinating. What happened was the with this funding, the Lebanese army and Hezbollah actually pretty much, or not, sorry, the Lebanese army has pretty much destroyed the camp and with the relocation of all those Palestinian refugees. And just within the last 6 hours or so, it was reported that there's about a 200-yard area where these jihadis are still holed up within the camp. The idea being kind of an Iran-Contra kind of a deal, which went back to what was called Pentagon redirection. If you look on the Department of Defense website, you can read about redirection. Right. And the policy was to back the moderate Sunni, whatever the reigning regime was, and the reigning regime in Lebanon was considered to be a moderate Sunni regime, was to get other moderate regimes, for example, Jordan and Egypt, to fund this thing in the end, essentially wipe out this Palestinian refugee camp. And by the way, I'm Jewish. I have no axe to grind here in talking about this. But, the only reason I knew about it was editing this video. You'll never see anything about this in the mainstream media. But it seems like, although it's very difficult to prove anything, it seems like they're using the very same Iran-Contra type tactics.
Right.
And you know, there's a big problem because in Iraq, as we know, the Shia are aligned with Iran. So how anyone can steer through this minefield and actually make it work, it's clear that it's going to be impossible. And I think that's where a lot of the rage comes from is, where do we go from here? How do we actually solve this?
There is no solution. The Sunni are aligned with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, one could make the case, I don't mean that as a qualifier, it is the case that Saudi Arabia is the sole provider of training, weaponry, cash, the madrasas, that feeds into this mentality of the Islamists who and I'm not, I don't want to come across as being against or pro anything here. We are being attacked because we are there. I mean, it's that simple. Someone else can make the argument as to whether or not we belong there. But we are being attacked because we are the invader. We are the crusader. We are the ones who have invaded their space, whether it's Saudi Arabia or Jordan or Kuwait or Iraq, no matter where it is. But these alignments, as you point out, so many Americans, 98% of Americans don't have a clue about the divisions within Islam, especially this obvious division. It's become obvious only because we've been involved there now for 15 years, this division between Sunni and Shia that is as deep and as abiding and as horrific as Protestant and Catholic in Northern Ireland, even more so because it's tribal. It has its roots in the Bible. It has its root. Oh my God! Hey, listen, Steve, I got to leave it there. Okay.
You hit one other major point.
Very quick.
We're fighting them over there because Osama wants us to fight them over there, not because George Bush does.
Very good point. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate what you had to say. Very interesting. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
That's me in the corner.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. All right, as promised, we have a short version of Uncle Mike's Story Corner for tonight's program. So sit back and enjoy. Well, here we all are again with Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Everybody comfortable in their jammies? Have your hot chocolate? We'll gather around, children. Tonight, Uncle Mike's Story Corner story is titled Heroes and History. And it's written by a man named David Brooks. Can you say New York Times op-ed columnist? That's an awful lot to say, isn't it? But that's who David Brooks is, and here's his story. I spent the first 4 days of last week interviewing senators about Iraq. The mood ranged from despondency to despair. Then on Friday, I went to the Roosevelt Room in the White House to hear President Bush answer questions on the same subject. It was like entering a different universe. Far from being beleaguered, Bush was assertive and good-humored. While some in his administration may be looking for exit strategies, he is unshakably committed to stabilizing Iraq. If General Petraeus comes back and says he needs more troops and more time, Bush will scrounge up the troops. If General Petraeus says he can get by with fewer, Bush will support that too. Bush said he will get General Petraeus's views unfiltered by the Pentagon establishment. He feels no need to compromise to head off opposition from Capitol Hill and is confident that he can rebuild popular support. I have the tools, he said. I left the 110-minute session thinking that far from being worn down by the past few years, Bush seems empowered. His self-confidence is the most remarkable feature of his presidency. All this will be taken as evidence by many that Bush is delusional. He's living in a cocoon. He doesn't see or can't face how badly the war is going and how awfully he's performed. But Bush is not blind to the realities in Iraq. After all, he lives through the events we're not supposed to report on. The trips to Walter Reed, the hours and hours spent weeping with or being rebuffed by the families of the dead. Rather, his self-confidence survives because it flows from two sources. The first is his unconquerable faith in the rightness of his big idea. Bush is convinced that history is moving in the direction of democracy, or as he said Friday, "It's more of a theological perspective. I do believe there's an Almighty, and I believe a gift of that Almighty to all is freedom. And I'll tell you, that's a principle that no one can convince me doesn't exist." Second, Bush remains energized by the power of the presidency. Some presidents complain about the limits of the office, but Bush, despite all the setbacks, retains a capacious view of the job and its possibilities. Conservatives are supposed to distrust government, but Bush clearly loves the presidency, or to be more precise, he loves leadership. He's convinced leaders have the power to change societies, even in a place as chaotic as Iraq. Good leadership makes all the difference. When Bush is asked about military strategy, he talks about the leadership qualities of his top generals. Before, it was General Abizaid and Casey. Now it's Generals Petraeus and Odierno. When Bush talks about world affairs more generally, he talks about national leaders. When he is asked to analyze Iraq, he talks about Maliki. With Russia, it's Putin. With Europe, it's Merkel, Sarkozy, Brown, and the rest. He is confident in his ability to read other leaders. Who has courage? Who has a chip on his shoulder? And is he confident that in reading the individual character of leaders, he is reading the tablet that really matters? History is driven by the club of those in power. When far-sighted leaders change laws and institutions, they have the power to transform people. Many will doubt this. But Bush is a smart and compelling person, and only the whispering voice of Leo Tolstoy holds one back. Tolstoy had a very different theory of history. Tolstoy believed great leaders are puffed-up popinjays. They think their public decisions shape history, but really it is the everyday experiences of millions of people which organically and chaotically shape the destiny of nations from the bottom up. According to this view, societies are infinitely complex. They can't be understood or directed by a group of politicians in the White House or the Green Zone. Societies move and breathe on their own through the jostling of mentalities and habits. Politics is a thin crust on the surface of culture. Political leaders can only play a tiny role in transforming a people, especially when the integral fabric of society has dissolved. If Bush's theory of history is correct, the right security plan can lead to safety, the right political compromise to stability. But if Tolstoy is right, then the future of Iraq is beyond the reach of global summits, political benchmarks, and the understanding of any chief executive. Uncle Mike's Story Corner is brought to you by Uncle Mike. Tonight is from op-ed columnist for the New York Times, David Brooks, Heroes and History. You know, when I read that this morning, I spit coffee all over the rather attractive tapestry that Kathy so diligently and carefully made that hangs in our dining room. Was what it sounded like. And Kathy came running in. "What the hell have you done to..." And I said, "I'm sorry, read this." And when she finished, she looked at the tapestry with a mouthful of coffee and went... Can you believe that? Oops. Uncle Mike is not supposed to comment on Uncle Mike's Story Corner subjects. That was a fun story, wasn't it? By the way, thanks to Octavia Butler, a black woman who wrote science fiction. Octavia Butler died recently. I have only read the parable of the sower, a tale of post-nuclear, post-apocalyptic survival, if memory serves, very humanistic and hopeful. The quote that was sent in to me by Octavia Butler, and I had to plead my utter ignorance as to who Octavia Butler was. Okay, let's get back to phone calls here. Who's next? BJ is calling from Lake Havasu, Arizona, and BJ is listening on the internet. BJ, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Oh, brother. Well, you know, when you're on hold, it's like now I want to comment on everything that's been said tonight.
I know.
But basically, for the first time, I think I've actually had an anxiety attack.
Uh-oh.
Listening to everything because my heart's racing and I'm sweating and
No. That happens to me. If I call, I used to call Tom Hartman once in a while. One time I called Randy Rhoads' show, and I'm sitting there on hold because you get no special favors just because you're in the business. And I'm sitting there and I notice my heart rate's going up, my hands are getting sweaty, I'm starting to get a little bit dizzy. I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? I do this for a living.
I never got nervous waiting for you before. I was doing this when we were talking about just, it feels like a freight train going over a cliff and the emergency brake is.
Well, there's that too. There's that too, so.
And the hair is up on my neck too. Well, I think these 25% of people are the ones who haven't been kicked in the wallet yet. And I happen to notice that the only time the sheep around me got anti-Bush was when gas prices spiked up.
Yeah. Isn't that insane?
It's when it hits the wallet, you know, the money. So I have this theory that because Bush manipulates absolutely everything, oh, plus that writer didn't include the possibility of some really high-grade government cocaine for the president for accounting for his up mood. But the way they manipulate everything, I mean, body cavity searches for anyone that comes to a speech and all of this, and just every little aspect of it is controlled. And I think that they told their gas company buddies to keep down the profit right now because crude's up. And before, when crude would go up, they were out changing the prices on the gas station twice a day.
Hey, BJ, hold on a minute. I got to do a break here, all right?
Okay.
Just hold on. We'll put you on hold. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mass destruction. Mass destruction. Alpha male. I come from Texas. I come from Texas. The new Prime Minister of India is, no. Mass destruction.
Ten before the hour, thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program at our flagship station in Phoenix, the Phoenix station. Jesus, what's wrong with me tonight? He also answered your calls. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Billy Foster is our moderator in the NovaMradio.com chat room. Thanks to Mark Marshall and the moderators at MikeMalloy.com. On the message board, KPHX. What is wrong with me? I got my tongue in front of my eye teeth and couldn't see what I was saying. All right, back to BJ's. Very quickly, BJ, where were we?
Well, manipulating everything and just just covering, keeping the masses quiet with the gas prices. And the other thing was early on, Bush stopped publishing or letting the government publish the M3 figures, which is the money supply.
Right.
And I think he's put a whole lot of monopoly money out there, and that's going to stock market to keep, also to keep everybody thinking that everything is okay.
Uh-huh.
So that's all.
All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate it, BJ. Thanks. Always good to hear from you. It's madness, folks. Ian is calling from San Francisco, listening on the Quake. I think we have Ian now, finally. Hi, Ian.
Oh, hi, Mike. It's a great pleasure. I just wanted to comment on your op-ed piece. I saw this C-SPAN show with Chalmers Johnson about a month ago.
Yeah.
And he made this really chilling statement. He said, start planning your escape plans or your escape routes now. And I had the same thought about 2 years ago. I found out that if you have a grandparent or a parent born in Ireland, you're eligible for citizenship. And last week, I finally became a dual citizen of Ireland. And the reason I say that is that back in the late 60s, I was in a Catholic seminary back east, and I got involved in some anti-war activities, and I spent a year and 3 months in a federal prison. And I'm a senior now, and I have no desire to go through that again.
I hear you. Well, I wonder, I've heard from a couple of friends, my grandfather was born in Italy. I've heard the same applies with Italian heritage. I don't know. I've never checked it out because, frankly, I never felt a need to check it out.
Uh-huh.
And now all of a sudden I do.
I lived in Rome back in the mid-60s. I was in the seminary there also. And I think it was possible back then. I don't know if it is now.
Well,
but it is.
I agree with Chalmers Johnson. Everyone at this point needs some sort of an escape route. If it's not physical escape, at least emotional escape, so that if we have to go to the fourth box, we have the emotional clarity to do so. Do you know what I'm referring to when I refer to the fourth box?
The bullet, I believe.
Say again?
The bullet?
Yeah, the ammo box. You know,
that's right.
Four boxes for use in the defense of liberty.
Exactly.
And you use them in this order: soap, ballot, jury, ammo.
Well, the first three have proven inadequate, I think, at this point. Although I hope I'm not being chapped, but this is the first time I've ever called the talk show other than Pacifica. Thankfully, we have one, which I listen to when Ed Schultz is on. I cannot stand the man.
Well, I'll leave that alone. But,
all right.
All right. Well, Ian, thanks for your comments tonight.
All right. Then thanks. It was good talking to you, Mike.
Take care. Take care. And thanks for your persistence, because Ian was on hold forever, and then we lost him. Len is calling from Long Island, New York. Len is listening on the Internet. Hey, Len, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Last time I called you, I told you why I was interested in Joe Biden's plan for separating the Iraqis before they kill each other. I don't know if you looked into it, but that's not why I called. I was listening. I was talking to my nephew, a Harvard-educated law student who's now working with a one-year-old baby, telling him about loose change, check out the false flag presumptions that pop up with all logic when you start looking at what happened on 9/11. And this is a Harvard-educated guy, and he goes, well, you know, I don't want to look at that. Like, if it's true, what am I going to do? It caught me flat-footed. I didn't have an answer. Like, what are you going to do? What do you do when you learn it's true?
Well, that's a good question on the part of your nephew.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good question. What are you going to do? In a simpler time, I think most people would know what to do if the government lied to the American public to the extent that we can assume, and I think rightly so, that the Bush crime family has lied repeatedly. There were legal avenues to down which we could go and get relief. I mean, that's what lawsuits are all about, whether they're criminal, civil, or impeachment, is to give the plaintiffs, in this case the American public, some sort of relief. Since that avenue no longer appears to be open, then the choices have been reduced considerably, And what is left is something that I don't think most Americans want to contemplate, because most Americans couldn't handle the truth involved in what might have to happen in this country if the Bush crime family perpetrates.
Let me leave you with this. You're right. Let me leave you with this, because for me it's a pretty big Sabbath. The September 15th is supposed to be a impeach Bush march, from what I saw,
yeah,
in Washington. I would bring that up all the time, try to get a couple million people down there.
September 15th?
I can't go. ImpeachBush.org. I just ordered my sweatshirt from there.
All right. ImpeachBush.org has the information.
Okay. I wish I could make it there.
All right. I hear you. Hey, I got to leave there. Len, thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. Take care, pal. It was good to hear from you. You know, I've said before, no more demonstrations for me, but that's in reference to these anti-war demonstrations. An impeach Bush demonstration, oh my God, the last one of those was impeach Nixon, but that might not be a bad idea. That might not be a bad idea, huh? I'll see you tomorrow night, True Seekers. Thanks for participating in the program tonight, however you did that, including your right-wingers who kind of lurk around. It's okay, you can do that. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.